welcome listeners to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. I'm Jeff Pedro, in with Mark Avery, and we're from Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor firing range, firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road, directly across from DP&L in Moraine. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call at 937-293-3914, and we'd be more than glad to discuss with you any of your firearms-related needs or interests. If you'd like to get on the show today, you can give us a call here at the studio at 457-1290. That's 457-1290, and we'll get you into the queue, and we'll get you on the air as soon as we possibly can. I want to start off today's show just by reminding our listeners that a couple weeks ago, on our last show, we had talked about firearm safety and the importance of that and the responsibility that goes along with firearms ownership. And I heard a lot of good things from people who had heard the show that day. But more importantly, I'm starting to see some of the things that we preach get put into practice, and people are understanding that, and they're taking the responsibility to not only utilize safe gun handling themselves, but promote that among the people that they might visit the range with, or when they're at the gun store, or when they're in their house showing people guns and doing the right things. And I want to just congratulate people for taking that attitude, and I want you to continue to carry the torch, because it's very critical. I want to kind of throw out there today, I want to hear from you, the listener. I want to know if you own a gun, why you have a gun. If you're new to if you just recently purchased a firearm, why did you do that? I want to know if you received any initial training. I want to know what you do, if anything, to practice with your firearm. And also, I want you to get your thoughts on the upcoming pending expiration of the demonstration of competency on, I believe it's March 22nd, when the new law, March 27th, when the new law goes into effect. And I've heard opinions both ways, and there's lots of issues surrounding that. There was an individual who was just called the other day, and he said he expired on I believe it was March 13th, and when I explained to him the relatively simplistic process of demonstrating competency, his decision to me was, I'll just let it expire and I'll go through the consequences. I've got some concerns, quite frankly, about some of the issues in talking with some people, but I want to hear from you, the listener, see what you think about that. Remember, current law, as it stands right now for another week and a half, anybody that expires before March 27th had to demonstrate competency, and there was no definition as to what that entailed, and we at Sim Trainer took that upon ourselves to make that a course of fire, which demonstrated that they could safely load and unload and charge and fire the weapon proficiently from various distances. And we talked about handling malfunctions and things of that nature, because we feel so strongly about that. It's something we teach in almost all of our classes, our basic handgun class and our private lessons, and it was just it only takes 20 minutes to a half hour to complete that. But again, that provision kind of goes bye-bye with the new law that goes into effect on March 22nd. March 27th. I don't know why I'm hung up on that date.
It was initially thought to be March 22nd based on when the bill was signed, but by the time it got enrolled with the Secretary of State, there was that delay. So it's the actual effective date is March 27th.
Okay.
And it really matters more when you go to apply for the renewal. So if you apply for the renewal before the 27th, then you'll need to have that competency certification regardless of when your license expires or already has expired.
Yeah.
And after that, then it will no longer be required.
Right. And I know that that's an issue that some of you have feelings either way about, and I'd like to hear from you. So if you want to call in today at 457-1290, we'd be more than glad to get you on the air. I know that in recent times we've talked about some not so pleasant topics, but I just wanted to mention that I saw something the last couple days that absolutely tickled me, and that was the confrontation between Senator Cruz and Senator Feinstein. I believe that was in the Judiciary Committee, concerning some arguments relative to the Heller decision and its mandate and the constitutionality of some of the issues. And I have to give Senator Cruz credit, because he went up against one of the old dogs and he stood his ground. And what was really interesting, even though the pundits and some of the anti-gunners wanted to describe him as kind of picking on the girl or picking on the woman. The bottom line was he held firm to the issue, whereas she tried to distract, as she typically does, and divert the attention away from the real topic. It sort of looked, it was very similar to what we just saw the last couple months ago when Hillary Clinton skirted around the issue of what absolutely happened at Benghazi, and she got upset about it. And I'm going to tell you, in law enforcement, when people start getting upset about questioning, that generally is an indication that they're probably not telling you the truth, and their lips are moving with information that isn't trustworthy.
Methinks she doth protest too much.
But it was a classic confrontation, and you know, Cruz has only been there a short time, and Feinstein's been there too long, and it was a great stance that he took, and he forced her to answer the question relative to the issue, as opposed to letting her distract the conversation to another topic and then give an answer that doesn't answer the initial question. He on two occasions told her, Senator Feinstein, that is not an answer to the question. Let me restate the question. And he restated the question till finally she said no.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was, and of course, there's been several commentators that have taken Senator Cruz to task. But the bottom line was, as he said last night on Fox News twice, he said, it was easy for me to stand my ground because I knew that I was speaking the truth. And
he asked a legitimate question, and it's a question that, frankly, applies not just to this, but applies to many things, like the same kind of question that Nancy Pelosi railed at when somebody asked her what was the constitutional authority for Obamacare, and she just said, "Really? Really? You dare to ask me that question?" And the answer is, yeah, we dare to ask you that question because the Constitution has that question. And that's your job. That's what you sworn to do, was to uphold and defend the Constitution. And it's not happening so much. And a lot of people can see that. It doesn't take a scholar, a constitutional scholar, to read the document. It was written in plain English. Granted, it's the English of the, you know, of the late 1700s. But still, it was written in plain English. So anybody could read it and understand it. And that's, and clearly, people are twisting it to make it say what they want it to say rather than reading it for what it actually does say.
Absolutely. And also abandoning the historical interpretation in addition to the words, the historical interpretation, the way it's been applied. Unfortunately for us, there was a period in time, and Mark and I have talked about this quite some time, from about the mid to late 60s until, I'm going to say, even up close to 2000, where we didn't really abandon our firearms heritage, but we kind of took it for granted. You know, as we moved to a more urbanized setting, we left that heritage out in the rural area, and we didn't bring it to the urban area, and we let the urbanites beat us up. And it waned for a lot of times, to the point where, you know, some laws got snuck in on us, and we kind of turned a blind eye to it. And we're at a different point in time right now, and people have attention. And I just saw a article the other day that NRA membership is at record levels, and that's wonderful. People waiting in line to sign up to join the NRA and the various affiliate organizations, they are our voice. They're doing a great job. Estimates of that just 2 or 3 weeks ago, and Mark, you might be able to give me a little bit more to know what happened, because I only saw vague reviews. But in Illinois, of all states, in Illinois, a judge, all the people, and the aspects of their decision, which was McDonald.
Yeah. It was the McDonald case, of course, that was specifically addressing the gun ban in the city of Chicago. But what that decision was, it was actually upholding a lower court decision that said, no, you can't have a complete ban, and Chicago, you must have some means for people to get a license to carry a concealed handgun, or some legal way to carry a concealed handgun, or the keep and bear portion of the Second Amendment doesn't have any meaning. So that's the second time now in Illinois that decision has come back the same way against the state of Illinois. That what they were kind of hoping for was for there to be a relief from the decision of the previous court, which said you have 6 months to get this passed. And not only was there not relief, the clock has continued to be ticking. So if they follow the court's requirement, they will have some means of getting a license or permit to carry in Illinois. And to, I believe also they would include reciprocity based on some of the things that I've been hearing, although that isn't necessarily part of the decision. And that would require them within 6 months from the original decision. So sometime this year, if they meet the requirement, they should have something passed. And even though it may not go into effect for X number of months after that, depending on, I'm not that familiar with Illinois law. You probably know better than I do when stuff goes into effect.
It's been 20-some years since then. And
you don't remember everything?
They've had quite a few changes. But the other thing, kind of along a similar line, but as far as the reasoning goes, but not directly on topic, but Mayor Bloomberg was dealt a blow in his attempt to control personal behavior when the judge told him that his monitoring of the types of soft drinks and beverages that people can consume was arbitrary and capricious. Now, I want to tell you something about that language. That's significant.
That's very significant
when a judge refers to an action or activity on the part of government when they say it's arbitrary and capricious. Basically, they're saying there's no way you can do that because there's no justification whatsoever, and it is way out of bounds for you to go down that road.
Or at least the rationale that you have argued for doing it and the way you've implemented that you can't do it that way.
And in the opinion, the judge kind of stepped beyond the scope of what he was talking about and expanded using examples in other areas. And it's going to be nice to see, or it would be interesting to see over the next few months or over the next year if it'll expand into the firearms realm.
Okay, we're going to need to take a break now because we're about at the end of this section, so we'll go out and pay a few bills. If you would like to be part of the show, give us a call at 457-1290. When we come back, we'll also talk with Nick and Marie, who are waiting for us on the line. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery in with Jeff Pedro, and let's go out to the phones. If you'd like to be on the show today, call the studio at 457-1290, and we will get you up on the board as well. Let's talk to Marie, who's calling from Dayton. Marie, welcome to the show.
Hi, I've been listening to you guys for a long time, and I really enjoy the program, and I miss you when you're off because of basketball games.
Thanks very much.
I miss being here. I'm getting older, and I'm getting more and more afraid of the government and what their plans are. And I wanted to know, how do I, a senior citizen, go about purchasing a gun? And I knew I would come there to learn how to use it. But the other question I had is, do you think the government really is going to get by with making everyone, law-abiding citizens I'm talking about, register their guns when we know the criminals will not? And also, how do you join the NRA?
Okay, hang on just a second. Let's take those
Address one of the first issues, and then the first thing, when you talk to concern about the government, what they're going to do, I want you, Marie, to be a little bit more concerned about your personal safety relative to your situation right now. You said you're a little bit older.
Yeah.
A firearm is an equalizer. It gives you it empowers you to have the ability to take care of yourself in bad situations. So I just want you to kind of change mindset for just a little bit and start thinking about that as being your primary motivation. I share some of your concerns about government and where they're headed and what they're going to try to do, reference to firearms. And I'll let Mark talk a little bit more about that. But I think the first step for you would be to come down and either take our first shots class or a basic handgun class. And if the schedule doesn't accommodate you, take a private lesson and get you started. Because if you do it that way, we're not only going to help you get a gun, we're going to help you find the right gun that's right for you and then teach you how to shoot it properly. If at the beginning of the show, if you heard what I said, I'm concerned because there's a lot of people out there who are in this frenzied state for a lot of reasons. They're just going out and buying guns, and I want to make sure they're going to get proper training and be able to practice and make sure that they're competent with that gun as opposed to just getting a gun.
Will you give her your phone number again so I can call?
Yes, it's 937-293-3914. Just call down to the shop, and whoever answers will be more than glad to assist you. And I'm going to let Mark talk a little bit about the one of the other issues, reference the government and some of that, if you would, Mark.
Sure. The registration question has come up many times, and there are some bills currently pending in the U.S. Senate that have been proposed, and if they were passed, they would, in fact, include registration. But number one, although they did get it out of committee in the Senate, that committee, the Judiciary Committee, is pretty well stacked on the side of the anti-gunners. And there aren't even a majority of senators who would pass a bill, they're already saying that that bill is going to die as soon as it hits the Senate floor. It's not even going to make it over to the House. And if it did make it over to the House, it would fail there even more miserably. So although this has been a longtime dream of the anti-gun crowd, it's just simply something that's not going to happen. We're going to have to take our break here at the news at the bottom of the hour. So, Marie, if you'd hang on a little bit, we will come back to you as soon as we come back from the news. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Back on the air and glad to be with you. At the top of the hour, I had asked the question of do you own a gun? If you recently purchased a gun, why did you purchase a gun? If you have a gun, do you practice? Did you receive some initial training in how to use it? Do you practice periodically? And then I asked for people any of their thoughts on the pending change in the law, which will do away with demonstration of competency for renewal of concealed holders licenses. So if you have a concern about that or a comment on any of those topics, feel free to give us a call at 457-1290, 457-1290. And Marie, right before the break, she had asked several questions, and we had a short segment there, so we didn't get to her third concern, and that was how do you join the NRA? Well, the easiest way to join the NRA is through our website. Down at the bottom of our website, there's a link with the NRA, and it's very easy process. You just click on through, enter your credit card information, and do so. And I certainly want to encourage you to do that. As I mentioned in the top of the hour, the NRA is seeing record numbers of people joining, and that's a great thing because they are our voice, and they are a powerful voice. So powerful that most of the anti-gun community refers to the NRA as the most powerful interest group in the country.
Yeah, not just gun interest
not just
group,
gun
but they by far the most powerful lobbying in on Capitol Hill. And you know, there's even though we're still at the about the 5 million, which is a lot. I mean, it's more than there have been. When you consider that there's somewhere between 80 and 100 million gun owners in this country, that isn't enough. That means that there's only, you know, we're on the order of 5 or 6% of the gun owners are actually carrying the water for everybody else. And that's just wrong, folks. If you have a gun, if you ever hope to own a gun, getting a member of the NRA, becoming a member of the NRA is very important. And Marie, thanks very much for asking that question because, you know, we do have that available on our website. And if you go to our website, you're going to save $10 over the normal 1 year membership of $35. It'll only be $25 when you sign up on our site.
Marie, and your website is?
Yeah, sim-trainer.com.
Is that S-I-M?
S as in Sierra, India, Mike. Sierra, India, Mike, trainer, dash, sim-trainer, as in simulation.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Marie, while we have you on the phone, I'm curious to know what really prompted you to get actively involved in seeking training and getting a gun?
Well, I've been listening, like I said, to you folks for quite some time, and I'm just convinced that now is the time because we have to be able to protect ourselves against enemies, and sometimes I view the government as a huge enemy with the government that we've got now, especially, and it's scary. And I think that's the reason the Founding Fathers put in the Constitution that we have the right to have arms.
Absolutely.
Is to protect ourselves against tyranny.
Well, and that, in fact, is one of the primary justifications that they used as they were going through that discussion. So you're right on. Well,
and I also sense, Marie, just from talking to you, and I think you would affirm what I'm about to say, that would you describe yourself as a common, ordinary, down-to-earth person?
Yeah, I'll be 72 this year, and my husband is elderly and not well.
Okay.
And I'm looking towards, you know, spending some time alone by myself in the maybe not too distant future. And I just feel like, you know, I have an urgent need.
Absolutely. And the other thing I want to tell you is that whatever time God has for you and or your husband on this earth, you have a right to be free from criminal intrusion.
Right. Right.
And in your situation, there's no reason that a person your age should have to physically thwart or ward off a thug that's going to try to harm you or your husband. And
right.
So, like I mentioned, the gun is the equalizer, and when you receive the proper training, it becomes the device that will empower you so you don't have to be fearful. You know, I have my wife and my daughter and other women in my lives. I've heard people say over times they're fearful, they're afraid. Well,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a shame that you have to be fearful in our society.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to be cautious, and fear is a good thing, because in one regard, because it will heighten the alert when things aren't going right. And when you get that sixth sense and you feel uncomfortable and you feel like you might be getting in a dangerous situation, don't ever kind of push that to the back burner, okay, because that is significant. But I was just curious to hear what you had to say, because I think you represent the majority of people who are level-headed and of sound mind, where they're talking about things. Why I got a gun? Well, I want to protect myself. And that's a broad and expansive protection, but the bottom line is you're doing it for the right reasons. And 10 years ago, would you have thought you'd...
Elderly ladies on there not long ago that had recently learned to shoot a gun, and I think one of them even said she was qualified then to have a concealed weapon.
That's
and
right.
They were in their, I think, late 60s, early 70s.
Yes.
And I just thought, oh, wow, I need to do that.
Well, both retired teachers, they love the sport, but they also accept the responsibility, and they look... And I've noticed a change in their demeanor. I want to tell you this. I've seen both of them over the last year to two. Mark will tell you this. I've seen a change in their demeanor, in the way they carry themselves, the confidence with which they not only talk about guns, but just the confidence in which they carry out conversations with a predominantly male group in some cases. They come to the league on Tuesday nights, and they fit right in, and they don't feel intimidated by being around those types of people.
Well, I'm going to call you Monday morning.
Okay, we'll be looking forward to your call.
We'll be open at 1 o'clock on Monday. So thanks.
Monday morning or Monday afternoon at 1.
Right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go out and talk to Dennis, who's calling from Dark County. Dennis, welcome to the show. Thanks for waiting for us.
Today?
We're doing great. How can we help you?
Well, I've talked to a few people about that open carry law.
Okay.
And I seem to get mixed messages from even a few law officers I've talked to candidly about it. I was curious, what is the actual law with that open carry? Can that gun be loaded on you? Can it be loaded in your car or not loaded when you're carrying it?
There's several different aspects there. The first is that there's no specific law that addresses open carry in Ohio. So we have the Article 1, Section 4 of the Ohio Constitution guarantees the right to keep and bear arms. And there was a case that went to the Ohio Supreme Court where they were trying to ban open carry, and because concealed carry at the time was banned, the court ruled that open carry could not be banned, or you would eliminate the keep and bear portion of the right that's guaranteed both by the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and also guaranteed in the Ohio Constitution. So you can open carry. There's no law that says that you can't, and there's no law that says that you can. It's just it's guaranteed by the Constitution. However, in a motor vehicle, you must have a license to carry a concealed handgun in order to have a loaded handgun in a motor vehicle, and it doesn't matter whether you're carrying it openly or concealed, you still must have a concealed handgun license in order to do that in a motor vehicle. So it's kind of two different questions there.
I mean, if you're carrying the gun in the car, can the ammo be in the glove box, and is that legal then if it's unloaded?
As long as there is no ammunition in any magazine or speed loader that can be used with that gun, and there's no ammunition in the gun itself, that's what defines unloaded currently. And that will change on the 27th of March, so that if you have it closed in a separate compartment of some kind, that, like, for instance, if you have a range bag that has a separate compartment that you can put an ammunition magazine in and you can close that off, or a separate compartment you can put the gun in and close it off, so that there is a close between those two, then that would not be considered loaded as long as there's no ammunition in the gun. But for right now, you can't have a loaded magazine or a speed loader in addition to the gun not being loaded.
All right. Well, I cleared that up pretty good for me, because I've gotten a lot of messages on that when I've asked that about on several occasions of different people.
If you'd like some direct reference, I can give that to you. Just send us an email at radio@sim-trainer.com, and I will send you the links to the Ohio Revised Code where that's defined.
Well, hey, I appreciate that. Thanks a lot.
You're very welcome. Thanks very much for calling the show. And let's go out to Craig, who's calling from Indian Lake with a question about ammunition. Welcome to the show.
Hi, first time caller, and I'll tell you ahead of time so I don't sound too stupid.
Oh, you're fine.
I used to be gun owner, okay?
Okay.
Just don't have them anymore. Can you hear me all right?
You're fine, yeah. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm in a bad zone right here. I'm hearing stories about not being able to get ammunition. I'm sure you probably covered that, but I, like I said, first time caller.
Well, I'll tell you, we're hearing stories too, Craig, and what we want to be cautious about is passing around misinformation, stories.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, right now, the evidence, at least the evidence that we can put a handle on, is that the shortage of ammo right now is most likely, we can't say for sure, is most likely a supply-demand issue. And that's based on the fact that a lot of the topics that we've talked about over the last several weeks, more and more people are getting involved in the gun world, and as a result, there's more consumers out there competing for product. In addition, as the result of the current administration's attempts to curtail gun ownership and related situations, there's, I'm going to call it, frenzied buying. I don't like to use that term in the truest sense, but I just want you to know people are buying more than they need. But then again, I would even argue that what's as much as you need? It's pretty much as much as you want and or that you will afford to buy. So I don't know that that's true. But I don't think there's a lot of people out there with conspiracy theories. And believe me, they go through my mind every day. Mark and I talk about this on a daily basis. People at the range, because we're directly affected. Realize, sure, without ammo, I'm out of business.
In fact, we're almost out of ammo. In some ways. So,
I took that with a grain of salt because I figured the gun manufacturers themselves, you'd hear something out of them if there was anything conspiracy theory wise. So that's why I kind of figured what was going on is exactly what you said.
Yeah.
One of the big theories that's going on right now is that the government is buying up all the ammunition. And I did some research this week specifically looking for an answer to that question. I went out to the federal procurement data system where all of the federal contracting actions are listed, and I pulled all of the actions for small arms ammunition, which is the kind of stuff we're talking about. It's anything under 30 millimeter. And frankly, the ammunition purchases are down last year from the year before, and this year, of course, isn't complete, but we're about halfway through the year, and for the most part, we're well below half of the ammunition that has been ordered. Now, some people are saying, well, the Department of Homeland Security has contracts for millions or billions of rounds of ammunition, and having contracts and having placed orders are two completely different things. They have a requirements contract that allows them to place orders at a given price for the ammunition, and those contracts run for 5 years typically, but the maximum value of the contract is what people are looking at, and that has nothing to do with how much ammunition has been ordered. And the thing that I've looked at is actual how much ammunition has been ordered, and it's substantially less than what we've seen in the past. So that's really not so much of the deal, and we don't yet know where all that ammunition is going, and that's one of the things we're trying to find out. But thanks very much for calling the show. We need to take our last break for the hour. So if you'd like to be on the show, you got one line open, and that's about it. We're going to have a hard time getting through everybody, but we're going to try. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290. News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. If you are new to the show and would like to get more information about some of the other topics that we've covered or go back and listen to previous shows, you can do that on our website at sim-trainer.com/radio. And that will take you also to our podcast, so you can download the shows if you'd like to listen to them offline. And also a link to our Facebook fan page for Shooting from the Hip, and also for SimTrainer at facebook.com/SimTrainer. Let's go back out to the phones and talk to John, who's calling from Dayton. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, one quick question.
Sure.
Can you put a laser sight on a pellet gun?
Can you, or absolutely, if it has a location for it to be mounted, you certainly can put a laser sight. Now, there's a whole bunch of laser sights, and I'm not sure exactly what you mean, whether you're talking about Crimson Trace or a couple of the other major brands out there. But
Red Dot?
Yeah, if it's suitable, if it has a location to mount the various sites that are out there, you should be able to find something. Matter of fact, I remember when I had a group of people that were coming over to our old facility to do airsoft. They had all kinds of fancy laser-type sighting systems on their guns. So, yes, you can.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
That just kind of depends a little bit on that particular model and the way it fits, and most stuff you can probably even get it fitted if you wanted to. So, great.
Okay, thank you. Mm.
We have a couple minutes, and I want to mention something to our listeners. A benefit to membership is increased access to the what's available. And right now, I will tell you that we have numerous people calling and stopping into the store looking for guns, looking for ammo, and understand that we are under strict prohibitions. We're only selling to, because of the delayed and limited access, we're only selling to our members. Now, over the last week.
Or people who take our classes.
Right, or people take our classes, and most of them become members. But in the last week, I know for sure four or five people joined on the spot and took advantage of the membership privilege of being able to take a lesson and or get a gun. So if you're interested in doing that, we've got a pretty decent supply of some guns. I can just tell you that depending on what you want, we can probably get you something within a reasonable amount of time. And there's a good number of things that I have in stock, but you have to be a member of Sim Trainer, and that's making a commitment. And I know that right now there's a lot of people going anywhere they can. Times are tough right now, and they're looking to get anything they can. But you got to keep in mind that the various retailers are looking, and they're taking care of their loyal customers first. And we're no exception. We take very good care of our members, and that's an important point. And there's a tremendous advantage, and it's an expansive advantage if you're interested. So consider membership.
Thanks very much for being part of the show. We're out of time for today, so if you'd like to be sure and come back next week, we'll be on again. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting From the Hip. Thanks very much for listening. You're listening to 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.